Singer R. Kelly has topped the charts since the early 90s. His complicated lyrics veer from occasional gospel to the sexually explicit. He's one of R&B's most successful and most notorious artists. In 2002, a sex tape allegedly containing footage of R. Kelly with a 13-year-old girl surfaced. Now Kelly faces 14 counts of child pornography stemming from that tape. Yesterday, the opening arguments against Robert Kelly began in a Chicago courtroom. Reporter Stephen Gray was there covering the trial for Time magazine. We'll speak with him in a moment. If you have questions about the R. Kelly trial, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, talk@npr.org. Stephen Gray's with us from the studios of WGN in Chicago, and it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Nice to be here, Neil. How are you?
And this trial only came about after 6 years of, a lot of people thought it would never happen.
That's right, Neil. I mean, the charges came in about June of 2002, initially 21 counts of child pornography. Eventually, seven of those charges were dropped. And the trial, I mean, the case is essentially dragged on for seemingly bizarre reasons. One reason was that Judge Gahan, the presiding judge, he fell off a ladder and broke several bones. Another time, one of the lead prosecutors had a baby. Just last December, R. Kelly failed to make a scheduled court appearance because his speeding tour bus was stopped by authorities out in Utah, and so he couldn't make it out to back here to Chicago for court the next day. So a lot of people were very skeptical about whether R. Kelly would even face some jurors.
And the other thing that people were curious about, the tape in question, would it be played in court? Obviously, his attorneys objected.
Yeah, and it was played on Tuesday, the first day of the actual trial. It was 27 minutes long, roughly.
And how there's a wonderful description in your story about that, about how the jurors and the people in the courtroom and R. Kelly himself, the defendant, reacted as the tape was played.
It was an extremely surreal, event. A couple of people said to me that it's the sort of thing that they may have watched in the privacy of their own homes, and so it just felt very odd for many folks to sit there in a room full of, dozens of other people watching that sort of thing. Jurors were, there were mixed feelings among, mixed emotions from some of the jurors. I remember seeing put a hand over his ear. One woman, a middle-aged black woman who's a juror, she, a couple times, in fact, she put her face down, which in seeming disgust. R. Kelly, at a couple points, rocked back in his chair and, it seemed as if he couldn't even watch it at a couple points. But it was definitely a surreal, odd experience.
The defense contends that's not him.
Right. R. Kelly said, his attorneys have said all along that's not him. They have essentially questioned the veracity of the tape, because keep in mind, this is a copy of a copy of a copy. And so they are also, challenging whether or not, this has been dubbed in or edited in such a way that, it's not R. Kelly.
And also, the girl who was in the tape, or the prosecution says was in the tape, says, that's not me either.
Yeah, I mean, this is a key burden for the prosecution, because there's no clear victim here. The woman, the female allegedly in the video claims that it's not her. So now prosecutors are left with, having to sort of go in a roundabout way of establishing that the female in the video was, in fact, a minor at the time, and that, and that it was her. And so now they are expected to call to testify several of the women's relatives, the female's relatives. Yesterday they called Simha Jameson, the 21-year-old former best friend of the woman who essentially identified the female as the person in the tape. But this is clearly, despite the presence of the 27-minute tape, this is not a slam dunk case.
We're talking with Stephen Gray of Time magazine, who's covering the R. Kelly trial in Chicago. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's a question, a caller named Dan. Dan with us from Alabama.
Yes, I was wondering why this gentleman was being charged with child pornography instead of just, outright child molestation or child rape.
That's a good question. You know, I have not been able to clarify why R. Kelly has only been charged with child pornography. And the primary reason that I've not been able to get that clarification is because the presiding judge has issued a gag order on all attorneys and, in frankly, all court personnel, in relation to this case. I just have not been able to get even basic public documents to clarify, a lot of the information that's been out there. But you also have to keep in mind that it's unclear. Prosecutors have to establish that this was, in fact, a minor. The female in the video was a minor, and they've not yet done that. But why, R. Kelly has not been charged with, say, child molestation or
statutory rape.
Yeah, statutory rape even. I mean, that part I have not been able to clarify in, the two or so weeks that I've been covering the case.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And is the gag order due to the extraordinary publicity around the trial?
The judge's argument essentially is that he wants to limit I don't want to put words in his mouth and lose my press credentials. But in a nutshell, he wants to ensure that, that R. Kelly gets a fair trial. But the irony here is that, the judge's gag order really is, it's stopping this trial from being transparent.
And you made a remark about losing your press credentials. Well, a sketch artist did lose press credentials.
Yes. All the journalists who were covering this case were required to sign essentially decorum order. It's very, very, very stringent. And even before opening arguments on Tuesday, the judge sent his pro bono spokesperson out to warn all the journalists that, we cannot, or in particular the sketch artists, that they cannot or that they expose themselves to child porn charges if they draw depictions of the the contents of the video, another part of the warning was that the sketch artist cannot depict any of the jurors, which in fact the sketch artist for the Chicago Tribune did, and so she lost her press credentials in a nutshell. So it's like all of its journalists are sort of walking on eggshells throughout. Covering this whole case.
And so the principal piece of evidence, you talk about a lack of transparency, the public can't see it.
What do you mean?
The tape.
Actually quite a few people have seen it. I mean, this tape was dubbed and sold on street corners in, cities across the country. So I think quite a few folks have seen this tape.
Tell us also about some of the atmosphere around the trial. You wrote about that in your piece as well.
Oh, that part. I mean, everything about this case is bizarre. I mean, you've got a hardcore R. Kelly loyalist, mainly young black women who, there's a whole row of them who have, one woman told me that she has skipped school for at least 2 days to see the trial. A couple women have, stopped going to work to come and see R. Kelly. Just today, the judge apparently, slapped holding a woman for $500,000 for apparently screaming, "Free R. Kelly" at jurors as they were entering the courtroom. So, it's just such a bizarre scene every day.
Stephen Gray, thanks very much, and we'll check back with you as the trial progresses. How long is it supposed to last?
It's supposed to last about 4 weeks, but this whole thing is a cliffhanger. I mean, we almost had a mistrial on the first day. So this thing could end
any day,
early next week. Yeah, so we don't know, but it's supposed to last at least a month.
Stephen Gray, thanks again.
Thank you.
Stephen Gray is a reporter for Time Magazine. He's covering the R. Kelly trial at time.com, and he joined us from the studios at WGN in Chicago. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here, and we'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.